This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
But yes, there are other things in the world going on, including those that matter to us, including the return for year five at UNC of All-American guard R.J. Davis. To help us sort through all of it, our friend Brendan Marks from The Athletic, at Brendan R. Marks. Sir, this was not a surprise. We all kind of suspected that R.J. Davis was coming back. How does Carolina's roster set up? And what do you think the main reason is for his return?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a move that has obviously been in the works for a couple of weeks now. Of course, RJ waited until literally the last possible second to actually drop the news in the dead of the night. So, you know, I know a lot of UNC fans woke up. It was Christmas morning. They had a nice little gift when they were having their coffee. But, you know, I think for RJ Davis, what this comes down to is he has been able to have the opportunity to put his name in for feedback from the NBA's Undergraduate Advisory Committee. And the fact that he is not even going through the draft process, the fact that he is not going to the combine, the fact that he's not going through just some of those semantics, even knowing he would want to come back for an extra year, that kind of tells you what the feedback was that he got from the Undergraduate Advisory Committee. And so, listen, he's going to come back. He's in line for a seven-figure payday. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to enter the season as the ACC Preseason Player of the Year. I would expect him to be a preseason All-American as well. I mean, he's going to be in the running to be, you know, the best player in all of college basketball this season. And so you put all that together, it makes a ton of sense for him to return. And, you know, North Carolina, I think, has done a nice job so far with complimenting him and really putting him in a position to succeed. He's going to have to be in another high-usage role next year.
Sure.
But it will be interesting to see who else UNC has to try and take some of the pressure off of him. The Tar Heels have been linked with a number of big men, obviously, and, you know, hopefully one of those comes to pasture here soon.
I know you have done a great job breaking down the rosters, really, of both Duke and Carolina. I know you cover college basketball as a whole, too, so I'm not pigeonholing you here. But I want to go back to the return of Seth Trimble, who, again, I love as a player. And this maybe this speaks to what he felt like he was getting in the portal. And that maybe he just loves being at Carolina, but I can't see this year coming up being more favorable to Seth in terms of playing time than last year was, with two really good top 10 wings as freshmen who are going to play, plus RJ, plus Elliot Cadeau. He still feels, like to me, like he's, you know, third, fourth, fifth guy there.
Yeah, you know, I think, honestly, that makes a lot of sense. I understand. I think that is kind of the consensus opinion on Seth. I think there's the potential for Seth to do more, but it is going to be on Seth. Like, the difference from Seth Trimble as a freshman to Seth Trimble last year, I thought was a pretty pronounced jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came into North Carolina as this crazy athlete. You know, J.P. Tokoto, for longtime UNC
right.
fans, obviously was one of the best athletes the program's had in, I don't know, the last 10 or 15
yeah.
years or so. Seth came in as basically just that. And what we've seen him evolve into is arguably the best perimeter defender on the team. For that reason alone, he is going to play next year, especially if you're considering that R.J. Davis and Elliot Cadeau are going to be, you know, fixtures again in that backcourt. Seth Trimble is going to have to play from a defensive standpoint because we saw teams who would, at times, pick on those two guards just because of their size and the inherent limitations there. But the thing that I was impressed with Seth Trimble, and I think he can continue taking strides with this year, is I thought his three-point shot came along decently nicely. You know, I know that in the season-ending loss to Alabama in the Sweet 16, Alabama was dorking. They were intentionally sagging off of both Seth and off Elliot Cadeau, and that ended up sort of cratering UNC spacing. But I think that if Seth can continue to work on the rest of his three-point shot, you make yourself a 3-and-D guy, you are going to be part of the rotation.
Yeah.
You know, he's big and strong and athletic enough that if need be, I think you can get by with those three guys on the floor at the same time. Not probably for long stretches, but I think it's possible. So to me, I actually think Seth has a little bit more upside than I think most people would think. Again, it's going to come down to the shot. He's going to have to play because of the defense. If the shot is there too, I do really think there is sort of a top six role for him on this team next year.
I mean, I love the player because I love the fact that he changed. I thought he was as responsible as anybody for changing their defensive mindset. And there were times this year where I thought maybe he was almost ahead of Elliot Cadeau because of that factor. I think it forced Cadeau to become a better defensive player because he was losing time in games to the way Seth was playing. So I'm glad he's back. And I mean, I saw a few like clips of him talking about, you know, coming back and why he loves it here. And I think it speaks to me, it speaks to Hubert Davis and the way they run the program, that the players just feel so good about being where they are. What do they need to add now out of the portal? And I know you've written about this on The Athletic because I read it. So what do they need to add now out of the portal?
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Yeah, so North Carolina has now got 3 scholarships left to play with in the transfer portal. And, you know, obviously the number one need is just another big man. Jalen Washington, you know, former top 50, top 75-ish recruit, does offer some rebounding, does offer some rim protection. He's longer, you know, has a face-up game that North Carolina fans have seen the last couple of seasons. However, is not necessarily the strongest guy, is not necessarily the most durable guy, and as somebody who has had the injury concerns that he's had so far in his high school and college career, not necessarily a guy who you singularly want to depend on at your center position, because he is really the lone center North Carolina has on its roster right now. So UNC needs to bring in another big guy. They went after Aaron Bradshaw, who ended up at Ohio State. They went after Jonas Adu, who ended up going to Arkansas. You know, Cliff Omori from Rutgers, they're in the conversations for him, but they need somebody. It doesn't really matter who it is. They need another center body just to split time with Jalen Washington to be there as injury protection. And, you know, potentially, depending on the caliber of the guy they bring in to start. Not saying that that is like a given necessarily,
right.
But you need to just have another body there. And then in my opinion, I still think North Carolina needs another win. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring in Cade Tyson, the younger brother of former Clemson star Hunter Tyson. He's a sharpshooter. He's going to play that Cormac Ryan role. I actually think he could be even better than Cormac Ryan in that role.
Okay.
He's even better in the corners as a three-point shooter than Cormac Ryan was, which is saying something. It'll fit perfectly in UNC's offense. But he's a three. He's a defensive three as well. And okay. So, you know, UNC could still probably use another guy in that four-spot blend. You know, Jalen Withers will be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jaden High will be able to contribute. I personally would go for another, you know, sort of wing guy, somebody who can potentially guard threes and fours. You know, Drake Powell will come in. He'll do a little bit of that as well for North Carolina. But, you know, those would be the two biggest portal priorities in that order for North Carolina left with those last 3 scholarships.
All right, Brendan Marks from The Athletic is joining us here. Quickly to the Blue Devils. And you and I have already talked about Duke and stuff that they've added. Two, I think, smart role-playing wings, the kid from Purdue, the other kid from Syracuse, to this incredible freshman class, and two guards coming back in Proctor and Foster. What else do the Blue Devils need?
Yeah, you know, so Duke also has transfer portal scholarships still to play with. John Shire's not done adding yet. The biggest thing I think that Duke needs, really, because you do talk about, okay, you've got Kamon Malwak, who's a top 3, you know, incoming recruit, 5-star guy, a potential top 10 recruit in the draft next year. He's going to start. You've got another 5-star center in Pat Ngongba who's coming in, who Duke is going to play next year.
Yeah.
You know, he missed most of this year with a broken foot. Duke is not planning on redshirting him. Duke is planning on playing this guy next year, and they're planning on him having an impact. So, you know, that's two guys at the center position who I know some people have said they need a big, could probably still use another veteran big, even just from a mentorship perspective. But not from a playing time perspective. The thing Duke really needs that doesn't have right now is a third guard.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 2 guards right now. It's got Tyrese Proctor. It's got Caleb Foster. You want a third guard. Ideally, you want somebody who's defensively minded. That is kind of, you know, the ethos that John Shire is going for this season. You know, Cooper Flagg, huge defender. Malik Brown, huge defender. Malwak, shot blocker. Tyrese Proctor, elite point of attack defender. Like, this is going to be a defensive first team. So if you can get a third guard who offers that defense, ideally who could also beat somebody off the dribble, It's not necessarily Proctor or Foster strong suit.
Right.
That is what you're really hoping for. But again, it's kind of a tough sell. You know those guys are going to be the entrenched starters. Yes, you're going to play. How big is your role going to be? So again, you want to find somebody who can do that. If it's somebody who has experience, even better. But now I'm putting a lot of qualifications there, and there's only so many people who check all those boxes.
Brendan Marks is joining us real quick. Do you think John wishes he had gone harder at the portal a year ago?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know if I would say that, because I think he really, you know, sometimes the best gets are the ones you've already got. And I do think that the guys he brought back last year were the right pieces to bring back. If there is one way that I think John would have, if he could do it over from last offseason, I think that he would have gone harder in terms of closing a deal for one of the centers that Duke hosted.
Right.
Because, you know, we talked about it a lot over last summer. We talked about it a lot in the preseason. Kyle Filipowski obviously played a lot of center this year. To me, Duke's lack of a legitimate rim-protecting conventional center was a fatal roster construction flaw. It inherently capped the ceiling on this team, especially from a defensive perspective. And that is, you know, not solely because of that, but that is a reason why Duke had some of the inconsistency that it had this year. And so I do think if they had had a guy who is more of a difference maker as a conventional center, again, maybe you don't have as much leeway for all of those guards. But, you know, Duke fans were craving for, you know, Sean Stewart all season long, because you wanted somebody who could potentially step in and kind of fill that role,
right,
and slide Kyle Filipowski back down to the four, which in my opinion is just where he's probably a better fit at the next level as well. So I don't know that on the whole John would have wanted to go harder at the portal, but for that specific position, that was one that we talked about. Duke obviously looked at guys and flirted with them. They didn't do that for no reason. So that would be the one move, I think, in hindsight, if he could have. He might have put his thumb on the scale, just a little bit more.
I can't tell you how many people I've flirted with in my life and didn't close the deal on Brendan Marks. All right, real quick, too. I don't know why I even brought that up. NC State. It seems like every year Kevin Keats is reshaping the roster, and there's a lot of things he has to replace this year. Where did the Wolfpack sit as we sit here today?
Yeah, I really like what NC State has done so far. You know, I think they knew they had to capitalize on the momentum of this postseason, and I think they've done that. You know, you bring in a guy in Brandon Huntley Hatfield who, you know, had a five-star pedigree, you know, is a proven, you know, he is going to produce in the ACC. He has already done it before. He fills a huge hole that obviously DJ Burns is leaving behind. And then they brought in a couple of perimeter guys, a couple of scorers who I really like. You know, Dontre Styles is going to be the content gift that keeps on giving next year. for all of the UNC-NC State drama. But he's a good player. Listen, he's a good player.
Yep. You know,
6'6 wing, can fill it up, can score, can shoot a little bit. And then they've brought in a tandem of, you know, wing, guard, scores, kind of combo-y guard guys in Mike James and Marcus Hill. And, you know, listen, NC State's going to have decent size next year. I think they've brought in a bunch of guys who could be interesting. You know, the thing that NC State had going for it during this postseason run was it played a bunch of really different styles. You know, when DJ Burns was in, you know, the ball was going to him. They were going to be rotating around him as the orbit. When Ben Meadowbrooks was in at center, things were a little bit different. When DJ Horn was in, it was going to be a little bit different. When DR was in, you knew what he was going to do. You know, we don't quite know how all of those roles are going to shape up, and I don't think that NC State's going to provide as many looks as it did this season. But I do think that the talent they've brought in so far offers a higher floor. And, you know, again, there's still more work to be done in the portal. It sounds like they might be adding somebody else here soon, but I really like what Kevin Keats and his staff have done so far, and, you know, they capitalized the way they needed to on the Final Four run.
Brendan Marks, North Carolina Sports Writer of the Year, at Brendan R. Marks on Twitter. Thank you, man. I'll reach out again, because it's what I do. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, and hope everyone has a good rest of the week.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.